Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, November 18th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, talk turns to 2018 and what to expect if the Yanez case goes to trial. The 2018 race for governor in Minnesota officially began yesterday when DFL State Representative Erin Murphy of St. Paul announced that she's a candidate. Tim Pugmire has more.
Murphy has served five terms in the Minnesota House, including stints as majority leader and deputy minority leader. She was reelected to a sixth term last week. Murphy said she plans to seek the DFL nomination for governor in 2 years and will abide by that endorsement.
I'm running for governor because I love our state. I know how capable we are, and I want to make sure Minnesota is a place where everyone has a shot at opportunity.
Murphy's announcement is the first in what is expected to be a crowded race on both the DFL and Republican side. DFL Governor Mark Dayton has said he will not run for another term. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Environmental groups are calling on federal officials to toughen their approach to cleaning up the Mississippi River. Elizabeth Dunbar reports.
The Mississippi River Collaborative says cleanup in farm country has been too slow, and the coalition is asking the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to step up. The problem is nutrient pollution coming off of farm fields and flowing into the Mississippi. It's so bad that there's a dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico the size of Connecticut. Matt Rhoda is Senior Policy Director for the Gulf Restoration Network, which is part of the collaborative.
The Clean Water Act is very clear on what the EPA and what the country expects as far as waters that are fishable, swimmable, and drinkable. That does not change with the new administration.
But how the Clean Water Act is enforced could very well change under President-elect Trump, who wants to cut the EPA. Elizabeth Dunbar, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A state mental health task force has issued 9 recommendations aimed at relieving the bottlenecks that delay Minnesotans from getting care. Lorna Benson has the story.
The panel appointed by Governor Dayton focused on closing well-known pinch points that make it difficult to get timely mental health care or leave people languishing in hospitals and jail cells. The task force urged a more comprehensive approach to treatment that includes early intervention and better insurance coverage for transitional services in the community. The recommendations also suggest expanding the mental health workforce and helping people maintain their housing while they recover. Private insurers would be subject to more reviews under the plan to make sure they're adhering to mental health parity laws. Lorna Benson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The police officer charged in the death of Philando Castile during a traffic stop last summer in Falcon Heights makes his first appearance today in Ramsey County Court. Geronimo Yanez turned himself in yesterday. He faces charges of manslaughter and reckless discharge of a firearm. Matt Sepik has a look at what arguments a jury might hear if the case goes to trial.
At a news conference Wednesday, Ramsey County Attorney John Choi presented a detailed account based on squad car audio and video of the final minutes of Philando Castile's life. St. Anthony Police Officer Geronimo Yanez pulled over Castile's car on Larpenteur Avenue just after 9 p.m. July 6th, telling another officer the driver fit the description of a robbery suspect. Castile told Yanez he was carrying a firearm. Choi says Castile complied with Yanez's command not to reach for the gun, but Yanez fired anyway 7 times, killing Castile as his girlfriend and her daughter watched. Choi says Yanez's use of deadly force was not justified, and no reasonable officer would have done the same. Choi pointed out that Yanez's partner, Officer Joseph Kauser, never laid a hand on his own service weapon.
By his actions and his own words, Officer Kauser did not see Castile make any sudden movements, and he was surprised by the gunshots.
According to the criminal complaint, Yanez told investigators several times that he feared for his life and said Castile had something in his hands. Yanez's attorney did not return calls for comment. Pete Orput, Choi's counterpart in Washington County, who's not involved with the case, says given the evidence, Choi made the right move in charging Yanez. If the case goes before a jury, Orput says prosecutors will have to convince the 12 that Yanez acted unreasonably, no matter what danger he may have perceived.
We're not so interested in what that cop himself was thinking, because that's a subjective belief. This is what would a reasonable person You, for instance, you 12, what would you do in those similar circumstances?
Brad Colbert, who teaches criminal procedure at Mitchell Hamlin School of Law, says the question of whether Officer Yanez acted as a reasonable person would may not come up at all in court. In considering a second-degree manslaughter charge, Colbert says jurors will look to Minnesota law and decide whether Yanez was negligent.
You just have to show that he acted recklessly and created an unreasonable risk and caused the death.
This appears to be the first time in 3 decades that a police officer in Minnesota has been charged with killing a civilian in the line of duty, and police are watching the case closely. John Lozoya with the Minnesota Latino Peace Officers Association this week urged the public to withhold judgment and let Yanez receive an impartial trial. Dennis Flaherty with the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association said in a written statement that police are disappointed by the charging decision and Officer Yanez is presumed innocent until proven guilty. But Maplewood Police Chief Paul Schnell, who's not involved in the case, says he respects Choi's decision. After all, Schnell says it's the same system police use every day to enforce the law, and prosecutors had to know they could get a conviction.
They believe that there's a reasonably high level or likelihood of success in this prosecution, and that's the standard that gets applied to the cases that we routinely present to them. And I trust that he and his team have made that decision based upon the evidence and based upon existing law.
Yanez does not have to enter a plea at today's hearing, and if he eventually pleads not guilty, he could choose to skip a jury trial altogether and let a judge decide his fate. Georgetown University criminal law scholar Paul Butler says that's exactly what 3 of the 6 Baltimore police officers charged in the 2015 death of Freddie Gray did.
The first officer chose a jury trial. He got a hung jury. The second officer chose a judge trial. He got a not guilty. And all the cops after that, they chose a judge trial.
The judge found them not guilty as well. And last summer, the Baltimore State's attorney dropped charges against the remaining officers. Prosecutions of police officers are extremely rare, and guilty verdicts are even more rare yet. A criminologist at Bowling Green State University in Ohio found of the 77 cops charged with murder or manslaughter nationwide in the last dozen years, 27 have been convicted. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you again here next week.